Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us on this 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. This is Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I hope the same for all of our listeners. So,
yes, we do.
Beginning of March.
Yes, the beginning of March, the last Sunday before Lent.
That's right.
We begin now with today's gospel reading. Bishop, if you would now proclaim that for us.
So this is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, kind of a continuation of last Sunday, and verses 39 to 45. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from branches. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good. But an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, like last week's gospel, this is another one that's a little hard to understand, because it's always easy to look outward, but when we have to look within and look at ourselves, it's much more difficult.
Right. And you know, you saying that, I don't think we understand ourselves. I don't think many of us spend enough time trying to understand humanity, the human person. We are people who see the externals, but we forget there's an internal. There's a beautiful, and I didn't have time to put it down, but a meditation that says we have an interior life and an exterior life, and one assists the other. So in other words, the interior life is the life of recollection, the life of openness to God's will, of prayer. It's the life of our baptism, that we belong to God. We don't spend time with that. We do not, and this is our fault, and I'll put myself in the category as well. And I realized that again this morning when I did spend a little time. And you know how much you miss on a couple of days a week, just not being there to strengthen the interior life. We can go through the motions of prayers and those things, but to actually sit down and, as I would say, look at God square in the face, eye to eye, and say, "I live because of you." That's the interior life. That interior then will direct the exterior, how I see people, how I see a situation, how I approach an event, how I speak to a person. If the interior is in chaos, which I would say, unfortunately, for most of us it is, day in and day out, we live in chaos. To take the time to know what love is, to meditate on forgiveness, the things that we actually talked about last weekend of turning the other cheek, doing good to those who do bad to us, to develop that, we live a whole different life. We live, for us, first of all, a productive life, but we also live a joyful life. So when we take that as kind of the heart of this gospel, which is at the very end, and I'll read that before I speak of it more, a good person out of the store of goodness in his heart, so that interior, exterior. If the interior is good, the exterior will be good, produces good. But an evil person, out of the store of evil, which mounts up in a person, more anger, more revenge, more hate, will produce evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart, the condition of your heart, will determine the condition of your life. We too often compartmentalize this. You know, we say there's no God, but God is at the center of your life. And if there is denial in your life, if there's denial in your being, if there's hatred, and so as Jesus says here, if you store up the evil inside, that's what everybody, you're going to get, and everybody else around you is going to get. And so we're being called again to more, to store up good. Good through prayer, good through good works, good through forgiveness, all those things that are part and parcel. And so backing up then, you could say a good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. So again, it's that interior and exterior. Every tree is known by its fruit. And then going back further, when we talk about the splinter, and I would say this is really the work of denial. If I deny that there is a splinter, a plank in my eye, in other words, I deny the evil in me, I do not examine myself to say this is wrong, this is right, and I just move ahead with it, that all mounts up, and the splinter becomes a board, and the board becomes a plank, etc. And then I am blinded by that. So what is my external then? If this is my internal denial of everything, the external will be it's everybody else's fault. And how many times do we see that? It's your fault. I will not take responsibility for something. I will not take responsibility for my action. This is, I mean, there's psychological stuff. That's narcissism. And you become blinded by your own self. And I think the beauty of a gospel like this, you play with it in the sense. In other words, Jesus does takes it one way from three examples, from the blind leading the blind, the splinter and the plank, the rotten fruit and the good fruit, down to a lesson. What is the lesson? What you store up in your heart will be produced on your lips and in your actions, evil or good. So what I did is took the last sentence and then showed how that gives light to those three examples, what Jesus is trying to tell us in those examples, which we, you know, how many of us have quoted, don't take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Well, what we say that, and that's true, but let's go back. What does he mean by that? Don't store up these things in your heart. That is the interior life of a person.
So it's like we look at our neighbors, and as you said, we notice that they're doing something that may not be right, and we think, well, they're not doing it right. And sometimes we find ourselves criticizing them, and sometimes we even find a way to justify our own bad behavior. Not only would it be to criticize them, but we think that it's justifiable to not do the right thing.
Well, sometimes I wonder when we do that, what don't we recognize in ourselves? So how can you recognize the splinter if you don't know if you don't acknowledge the splinter in yourself? So Jesus is, he's basically asking us to be transparent. He's asking us to be who we are, you know, not to go around as if we're something better than anyone else, someone better than anyone else. He's just asking us to be ourselves and to help the other person grow in that. Because once you take an attitude of opposition, in other words, I'm here and you're there and you're wrong and I'm right, which is a plague in our country, a plague in our lives, a plague in our church. This is what causes the division of people. I'm right, you're wrong. And we will not talk about it because I'm right. Why would I talk to you when you're wrong and I'm right? This happens in family, and I get a little huffy about this because I see it too often. This is such a judgmental stance Objectively, yeah, there might be, they're incorrect, but who, this is why God is the merciful judge, not me. It's hard for me to be a merciful judge. Even in confession, I can't judge. I let God be the judge. I'm there to be an instrument and only an instrument of God's forgiveness so that a person can come honestly and say that. But when we continually oppose a person, they will never talk. What is needed, and people hate this word, but I'm sorry, it's the truth. We need to dialogue. Jesus, God sent his son, Jesus, while we were sinners. We were wrong in sin, anytime we're in sin. But God so loved us that he sent his son to do what? To dialogue with us, to become one of us so he could dialogue with us. And how many people, if we look through the Gospels, did he dialogue with? He sat with the sinners. He stood before Pilate. He ate with the Samaritan, helped the Samaritan woman. He tells us these parables about the good Samaritan, about the prodigal son and the good father. This is all dialogue. And when we say we don't dialogue, that's wrong, because that's saying we're going to remain as we are in our two different camps, and that's the end of it. Then why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And where is your heart? Anyone who stands in that kind of position, where is your heart?
So I think we need to work on how we start those conversations. How do we soften our hearts and maybe even soften the hearts of the people that don't want to enter into that dialogue?
I would say take the gospel home with you today. Go back to St. Luke's Gospel 6:39-45. Read it and read it and read it. And don't read it as theory. Read it as God speaking to me, to you, to us. Because I have to read this too. I mean, I can put myself in this story too. Sure. On different levels, we have this. We have it on international level. We have it on a national level. We have it in our families. We have it in our parishes. We have it in the church. We have it in schools. We have, you know, everywhere. This is human behavior that Jesus is trying to correct. And the church, with as the proclaiming the gospel, is not to condemn people, but to say, open your hearts. We want a better world. We want a world of peace. And it certainly doesn't happen by pointing fingers. It happens by sitting down and talking.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break. And when we return, we will share with you the word of life for March. Please stay with us. We will be right back. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time, the Sunday before the beginning of Lent, and we would like to share with you now the Word of Life. And every month, the Word of Life is a reflection of something that we have discussed. And today is the perfect example of that. This is a passage that we heard last Sunday.
Well, they've always paralleled, you know, in tune with the liturgy of the church, and not to say we're over here, or as I say, parallel churches. It's part of the church. And so always trying to pick up the theme that mm-hmm. is in the scripture reading. So this actually is very close to the Psalms, the last two Sundays mm-hmm. that we've been reading about mercy. So we're very pleased for March that we can enter into a time of being merciful, but it's also preparing for Lent too, because Lent right. will be coming up. Ash Wednesday will be coming up this week. So the word of the scripture, the word of life for March is from, again, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, which we've read the last couple of Sundays. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. From what St. Luke tells us, after proclaiming the Beatitudes to his disciples, Jesus made this revolutionary call to every person as a brother or sister, even those considered enemies. Jesus fully knows and explains to us that we are all brothers and sisters because we have one Father. Continually seeking out his children, God wants to build a relationship with us. While holding us up to our responsibilities, God's love heals, nourishes, and takes care of us. It is a mother's attitude, compassionate and tender. This is the mercy of God that reaches out personally to every human being, with all their weaknesses. In fact, God prefers those who are marginalized, excluded, and rejected. Mercy is a love that fills the heart and flows out to others, to neighbors as well as strangers, to society around us. Since we are children of God, we can imitate His characteristics of love, acceptance, and knowing how to wait for the right time for others. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Unfortunately, in our personal and social lives, we breathe an atmosphere of growing hostility and competition, of mutual suspicion, categorical judgments, and fear of others. Grudges accumulate and lead to conflicts and wars. As Christians, we can go against the mainstream by giving a clear witness. We can take the step to be free from ourselves and from external circumstances and begin to rebuild the weakened or broken bonds of our family, in our workplace, in the parish community, or in our political party. If we have hurt someone, let's have the courage to ask forgiveness and start again. It is an act of great dignity. If someone has truly offended us, let's try to forgive them and make room for that person once more in our heart so that the wound can heal. But what is forgiveness? The founder of the Focolare Chiara Lubich wrote in a commentary to Scripture in October of 1981, quote, "Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. It is not weak. It does not mean taking serious things lightly, or considering as good what is in fact bad. It is not indifference. Forgiveness is a clear-sighted act of will, and thus a free act that welcomes the other as he or she is, despite the wrong done to us, just as God welcomes a sinner, despite our faults. Forgiveness means not reacting to the injuries received with more wrongdoing, but doing as St. Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's from Romans chapter 12. Such open-heartedness cannot be improvised. It is a daily conquest, a constant growing in our identity as children of God. Above all, it is a gift from God that we can and must ask for. Be merciful just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. A young woman from the Philippines told us this story. Quote, "I was only 11 when my father was killed, but justice was not upheld because we were poor. When I grew up, I studied law because I wanted justice for my father's death. But God had another plan for me. A colleague invited me to meet people who were seriously committed to putting the gospel into practice. I started doing the same. One day I asked Jesus to teach me how to live His word, love your enemies. In a real way, because I still felt hatred within me for the men who had killed my father. The next day at work, I met the head of that criminal group. I greeted him with a smile and asked about his family. He was astonished at this, and I was even more surprised at what I had done. The hatred within me started breaking down and was transformed into love. However, that was only the first step. Love is creative. I thought that every member of that criminal group had to receive our forgiveness. My brother and I visited them to reestablish a relationship and bear witness that God loves them. One man asked our forgiveness for what had been done, as well as prayers for himself and his family."
You know, Bishop, one of the things that I really like about the Word of Life is that it explains what the Scripture is and what we are studying and how it can apply to our daily lives and to the lives of those around us. And then they give us a very beautiful example that we can in turn sort of use that as a mirror to examine our own lives and how we can emulate the gospel. Very powerful.
Many of us could be living in a similar situation, you know, with hatred growing, as we talked about in the gospel this earlier in the first portion of the program, but how that hatred can seethe and grow, and the result is just a continuation of that. So the power of love, which is forgiveness and mercy. I mean, I thought there was a beautiful part of that in the first part of the reading. If we have hurt someone, let's have the courage to ask forgiveness and start again. It is an act of great dignity. I think what this, whoever this young woman was, is the dignity of that. I mean, when you compare the dignity found in forgiveness, the dignity of reaching out, of loving someone, as opposed to remaining angry, hurt, where do we see the dignity? In which example? And I think in that act of forgiveness really shows courage, which is human dignity.
I'm also remembering how we spoke about this last week, thinking about the prisoners or anyone who has committed a crime, maybe someone who committed a crime against their families, and wondering if they've ever forgiven the person who committed the crime, and how that forgiveness becomes transformational, how it's so powerful for them and their families and for the person who committed the crime as well.
Well, oftentimes you find in the news somebody who's been violated or hurt in their family, and just that they're not going to prosecute because they want to forgive. And I mean, those are cases when you just, your mouth is open. You know, the beauty of that gift through the hurt, through the pain of that, but yet that forgiveness is more powerful than that. You know, I think recently in one of our programs that we don't know what it is to be human. We consider, I think it would be a good exercise even for myself to, what does it mean to be human? Does being a human being mean to be angry or to be loving? Does it mean to be revengeful or forgiving? You know, to compare, as I think it was last week, we talked about St. Paul saying that there is the first man and the second. You know, is it human or is it divine? Because our true humanity is divinized, we say, by Jesus Christ through his word. So picking that up and putting that into our lives, allowing God's power to enter into our lives through his word, putting it into practice, which is what this whole exercise of the Word of Life is about, putting it into practice. That is the true sign of our human dignity. And the only thing that can bring us joy, and I don't, as we're entering into Lent, I would ask all of us as we enter into Lent, not to see Lent as a special time of year. I think we too often do that. We focus everything on 6 weeks. Brothers and sisters, every day is Lent. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's not just for 6 weeks. And living the gospel will always cause us to deny ourselves, but also then to act. And the result of that is Easter, which is joy. So that's what we call the Paschal mystery, to die and rise. That's a choice that we have. Do you want to die and remain in death, or do you want to die and rise? Die to yourself and rise in God.
So many beautiful things to reflect on, Bishop. We thank you for your words and your insight today. If you could end our program now with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that the course of our world may be directed by your peaceful rule, and that your church may rejoice untroubled in her devotion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.